You have made me glad. You have made me glad. And when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground.
When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the utmost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus, Lord, You're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
You want to shout? Well, then why don't you shout for a minute? Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Before we're seated, why don't we take a moment to pray? Brother Wallace has lost his brother, has passed away, and he's actually doing the funeral in the week coming up. So pray for Brother Wallace Carter. Brother Mark Miller's mother has passed, and I want to pray for his family, for him especially. There are so many needs here in this place. Also, Brother Ben Smith and the Harris family, the Smith family and the Harris family, Ben's grandmother, who is Kathy Smith and Shelley Harris's mother, that passed away this morning. So if any of you feel led to pray with these individuals, go ahead and do that. But we want to pray for them and pray for the remainder of this service in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Lord God, We know, God, that you have promised in your word that you are never far from us, that you are with us, if only we will feel after you. And right now, God, as a body, as a family, Lord, we're reaching out on behalf of these brothers and sisters who have needs, God, that we can't necessarily meet their emotional and spiritual needs as much as you can, oh God. Only you can bring the comfort and the strength and the anointing that they need. We ask it, oh God, now in Jesus' name that you would do this. We ask, oh God, for your blessing and anointing upon Pastor Roy as he brings us the word, upon all of us as we hear the ministry of the word. We ask for your blessing on this connection fair, oh God, upon all of the presenters and all of the people who go through it, that your voice will be heard and that your spirit will be able to reach us when we need it the most. We ask for your blessing on all that we do today, O God, that in this service and in this meeting, that your name may be glorified. And we believe, O God, that you have already heard us and already begun this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. What a comfort it is to have a living God who's with us. Amen. We want to welcome all of our guests here in the auditorium and online, and we would like to connect with you. We have what we call a connection card here in the building. You can get it at the kiosk out front or from one of the ushers if you haven't already. A couple of points of information, if you would be so kind as to fill that out and return it. We have a small gift for you just to show you our appreciation online. You can fill out the information on the bit.ly link that's there, and we will follow up and let you know that we're grateful and we're appreciative of your visit, your being with us. It means a lot to us, and we want you to know that. Thank you. If you want to give, you have several giving options. You can give online. The information is there on the screen. You can, of course, give here in person. We have a plexiglass container out in the vestibule. You can drop your offering in there. You can give by mail. And then, of course, there's mobile giving on the Church Center app. It has made a difference. If you take the time, download that Church Center app on your phone. More and more, Pastor Phil and Pastor Jessica are making it more possible to connect in many different ways, whether it's directly ministry-related or if it's just finding out what's going on at church. The Church Center app will help you. It's very intuitive, even for the 60-plus crowd. Amen. God is good, even to 60-year-old people. This Friday, February 4th, all church prayer at 7 o'clock. And then next Sunday, February 6th, a new round of New Life classes will start up during the 10 a.m. session. New Life classes, if you are interested in New Life classes, you can talk to Pastor Jessica or to Ben or Stephanie Thompson, and they will get you hooked up. And it's worth your time in just the content, but also it also opens doors for ministry, and it gives you an opportunity to get to know people that perhaps you might not have met with or known before. I believe it's God's will for every new Christian to have a discipleship class. So there. Amen. And then that's all we have. If you would stand, I would like our pastor to come. He's going to minister to us in the Word of God.
Praise the Lord, church. We're going to get right into this because we have a full agenda planned for all of us here, and we're going to get you more details on that at the conclusion of our short message here. We've been reading in a series. We've been calling this Just Simple Church. We've been reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 42, So we're going to start here this morning, kind of as a recap, and I add a few little details on at the end. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Those are four things that we are learning from the first church in the book of Acts. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I want you to just look at the person next to you and just say, connect. Connect. You can be seated. Over the past 3 weeks, we've been laying out the details of the book of Acts church. Now, this is the first church plant. This was a church that although Jesus wasn't on site, he was modeling exactly through his apostles exactly how he expected his church. Remember, they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was mentoring them, teaching them, training them, and now the big moment has come. So when Jesus told them back in the book of Matthew, and he said, I want you to take and go into all the world and preach the gospel starting in Jerusalem. That is where they were at this point. The church was in Jerusalem. It had not expanded much outside of Jerusalem. But here they are. This is how the whole thing that we call church got started. They had all their ups and downs of a new church. They had all of their difficulties that they were having to go through. They had some folks in the church that were there, and they had ulterior motives. And there were some folks that were stinkers. We talked about that. Sometimes we're the stinker. Sometimes pastors can be the problem. You know, if you have like the old saying, Bishop used to say this, if Mark has a problem with Brother Ben, and Mark has a problem with Sister Chernikowski, Sister Martha, and Mark has a problem with Brother Al Huddleston, then maybe Mark has a problem. But we always look at that and say, we want everybody else to change, but not us. There was a lot of people in that first book of Acts church that they kind of were there for the wrong reasons. Yet through all of these differences, through all of these struggles, they continued to move forward, just as Jesus moved forward when his disciples, he had to look at his disciples and say, get thee behind thee, Satan. He had some stinkers that he was working with as well. And just as Jesus pushed through the disciples, the apostles there, they pushed through as well. So through it all, they pressed through in spite of the differences, and in spite of all the struggles, they pushed through. So an apostolic church was born, it was alive and well, and we are here today as a result of all of their efforts. So today we're no different. People are still people. So what have we learned over the last 3 weeks? We've learned that just as the early church did church together, we do church together. We gather around God's word. We gather around the teaching and the principles. We can call that principles. We can call that doctrine. But they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Sister Jessica Rivas preached a very good Bible study, taught a very good Bible study on Wednesday night concerning the apostles' doctrine. So they learned the teachings. Where did the apostles get their doctrine? They learned it directly from Jesus. It was passed down from Jesus to the 12 apostles, and from the 12 apostles to the 120, and then it just literally exploded throughout the world. So they did life together. They had some direct connections. They were gathered around the doctrines of Jesus, around God's word. They did life together, and we need to do life together as well. It's Christianity is not just a Bible study. It's a lifestyle. We are Christ-like. We are apostolic in doctrine. We are apostolic in our lifestyle. When we look at the word fellowship in verse 42, it's a Greek word. It means fellowship, communion, participation, and sharing. This afternoon, here in a few minutes, we are going to be heading over to our fellowship hall, and we are going to experience fellowship. We're going to experience communion. We're going to participate and share with one another. We share meals together. We take communion, food. We found this out was a big part of the first church plant. This is where potlucks came in to being. This is why churches have potlucks. It's still a big deal. I think Brother Ty, if I'm not mistaken, is over there right now cooking us up a wonderful meal. And I'm excited about that. If you miss it, it's because you just decided to miss it. It's available to everyone that is here. So we share. They devoted themselves and to breaking of bread. They broke bread in their homes. They had pizza parties and spaghetti dinners and all of this in their homes. They ate together with glad, insincere hearts. And the early church would eat together and celebrate communion together. We talk about our communion service, and we typically address that a few times a year, but that didn't start out that way. They had communion on a regular basis. They prayed together. We have a prayer meeting this Friday evening. It's a corporate prayer meeting where the whole church comes together. They devoted themselves to prayer and praising God. Worship is very much a part of our prayer cycle. And we need to understand the acts we find the early church praying together and worshiping God together. We've heard this saying, a marriage that prays together stays together, and a church that prays together stays together. So we look at all of these things that we have learned over the last 3 weeks. And what is the result? What is the outcome of all of this? Remember our series, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. We are here today as a direct result of what was started 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus Christ designed, he says, he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we are living proof that the gates of hell have not prevailed against the church that Jesus Christ. This is why he came to earth. It was all about connection. It was all about relationship. So the last passage, when we read this, as everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It says they enjoyed favor, which is the same word for they enjoyed grace. People were amazed, and they were favorable towards them. But the best results of all, out of all of this, every day more and more people were coming to the faith and joining into the church family. See, the result of this church family studying the scriptures together, the result of this church family doing life together, sharing meals and communion and praying together, what were four things that Jesus did continually with his disciples? Everybody looks at me like, is this a question? They did. He talked a lot of doctrine to them, didn't he? It was always discussing preaching, teaching. Did they ever go like, did they ever eat together? They ate together constantly, didn't they? We have all kinds of passages of scriptures. They did communion together, and they prayed together. One of the biggest struggles Jesus had was keeping his disciples awake in the prayer meetings. We read about that, don't we? They were off all the time, falling asleep. Jesus is begging, can't you just pray 1 hour? Oh, Lord, you had us up. We were fishing all day for food. Now you want us to pray all night. They did those things together. But as a result of this, I started last week about a survey that I read. I didn't complete the survey. I didn't complete all the information. I wanted to finish that this morning. But I talked to the church. I said that over the last decade, especially the last 3 years, this has accelerated to the rate that about 1,000 churches a month over the last 2 years have been closing, failing. A lot of it's due to financial, but a lot of it is due to pastors just becoming frustrated and dropping out of ministry. I read that pastors drop from number 2 on most admired job to number 9. And I made mention that we're one step above a used car salesman. This is the truth. This is where we are today as a society. Also, in that same article, they discussed a number of the reasons. One of the reasons why many churches were failing. They listed a number of reasons. But one reason particularly caught my eye as I began to read this. And as they listed, they listed finances, they listed pastors burning out and all of these different things and struggling with the COVID and all of that. But the one reason that was very high was members were quitting. Why are members quitting? And the number one reason was they no longer felt connected to the church. People expressed that it was a very big concern of theirs that they like to feel connected. Yet over the past few years, more and more people are feeling isolated. Some of this is it's because of situations that I can't control and they can't control. We have a number of folks that are members of Calvary Gospel Church, but they can't attend on a regular basis due to health issues and concerns. And I totally understand that. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those people that just intentionally, they just drift away. They don't plan necessarily, but over a period of time. You know, you miss church once, you miss it twice. Then we have services where we have to cancel services because we're told to, or we have so many people sick, it's probably safer to just stay home. And we have people that just after a while, you just develop a pattern that you miss once, you miss twice, you miss 3 times. It's a whole lot easier to just keep missing, and you slowly drift away unless you have those connection points. Now, I can throw a life rope to you, but I can't make you catch it. Everyone here could have a life rope thrown to them, or they could have a life jacket given to them if our boat was sinking. And it's I can't force you to put it on, and I can't force you to get into a lifeboat. Some people just drift away because they're just no longer interested, no longer peaks. They no longer have the desire. But an interesting fact in this survey was that the younger generations, the millennials and the Generation Z, stated that as far as church was for them, they only wanted to attend a church where that they felt connected, or they could be connected and or directly involved in the process. I'm thankful here at Calvary Gospel Church, we didn't just decide to do this today. It's something that has been evolving for a very long time now. We have a number of different ways. If you want to get connected, there are plenty of ways to get connected. And you want to get involved, there are plenty of ways to get involved. These same people, young people, as they were surveyed, they said, we want to search it out. I found this very, very interesting because I'd always heard that the younger generations didn't care about God, but the ones that have an interest, if I could put it that way, there's a lot of people that don't care about God, not just younger people. The reason our younger people don't care is because our older people never taught them the reasons and never taught the importance of. This is passed down from generation to generation to generation. You don't just wake up one morning, and I'm not getting political here because this is history. You don't wake up one morning and say, well, I'm an American and the Constitution is for, this is something that is passed down. And when we stop passing it down, then that's when we become a troubled nation, a troubled family, because we're no longer passing down the principles and the doctrines. That matters. You say, does doctrine matter? You better believe it matters. That's why Jesus took the time to make sure that it was put in here. You're not going to be judged by what some pastor says or does or thinks. You're going to be judged by what's in his book. That was just for free. So the younger generation, the ones that we've been told that have no interest in church and don't want to go to church and don't see the importance of it, are saying, we don't have a problem, but we want to study it out. We want to search it out. They're tired of powder puff messages. Now, there's a big difference between hellfire, brimstone, burn you up. There's a balance, and I think that's where pastors and leadership, we need to strike a balance, because I think we're all in danger of hellfire at any given time. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where we would all be. But nevertheless, they want to search it out, seek out those answers. Sister Jessica brought this message, brought this scripture, search out your own salvation. Today, as we conclude this series, we're going to be invited into the fellowship hall. Brother Jerry's going to come here in a few minutes, and he's going to give some instruction. But this isn't just so we can go over there and just waste some time. But it's a time where that we can connect. We can connect with one another. You know what? One of the things I like most about church is what happens after church. There are places, I've been to churches where 10 minutes after service, and I mean, it's just like the place is empty. Come around here on a Wednesday night, and you literally have to chase people out and start turning lights off to get the Stone family to leave. And the Powells, they will be here. The Smiths are here. Jerry Simmons is turning off lights. How do I get people out? You have to start. Now, you could look at that and say, oh, that's terrible. No, that's a good thing. You know what that tells me? It tells me that if I have to turn the lights off, if you're at my home and I'm tired and it's midnight and I have to get up and start turning lights off for you to leave, that means you feel very comfortable. And that means a lot to me that we have to turn the lights off and say, listen, folks, it's getting a little late. We got some folks that have an hour drive yet. We're going to have to shut the building down. You see, what's happening there is it's not just like people sitting, people are making connections. It's about relationship. And that's what I love. I want to encourage each and every one of you, take your families, take the time out for ministry. Fellowship with each other and make the most out of those needed connections. If you feel today that, well, I'm not really sure where I fit in, there's 40-plus booths over there that you could go and you could visit, and you can say, okay, God, speak to me. Where do I need to connect? Where do I need to fit in? What can I offer? There are talents and abilities that we all have, and if we sit on them, we're slowing up progress for the rest of the church, because I believe that God put us in this collectively together. So if we can stand, Brother Jerry, if you want to get ready to come, we can do this together. We can do this together. Just as Acts 2:42 showed us, we can do church with each other. We can fellowship with each other. We can pray with each other. And thus our witness becomes our witness. You see, the Acts church was very well connected. They studied together. They'd been doing it with Jesus for 3 years. They prayed together. They fellowshiped together. They did communion. They broke bread. They ate meals together. And what happened? They grew together, didn't they? They grew together. Notice what happens to the church. You move out of Acts chapter 2, and by the time you get to Acts chapter 5, you can see they had some problems in Acts 3 and 4. They had some issues they had to deal with. They dealt with those issues, and they moved on. But you see, we find that they were no longer was the verbiage used, that it was added to daily. The word added was dropped, and the word multiplied became the word. You see, notice what happens. You'll no longer see added, but we see the word multiplied daily. And as they were added to, those connections they made exploded, and they went from addition to multiplication. How is all of this possible? It's all possible through connection. It's all possible through connection. They connected with one another, and then they connected with those outside the body. They brought those connections into the body. And it was all through their relationship with Jesus Christ. What brings us all together here every Sunday? It's not my preaching. I hope that's not why you come. Good Lord. Brother Seidel did a phenomenal job this morning. But I hope we're not coming just to hear Brother Seidel. I hope we're not coming just to hear Brother Jeffrey sing. A praise team. I'm so thankful. We have such a talented, I mean, that is just, they did a beautiful job. I'm thankful for our overhead and our sound. They put what we're preaching up here, and I don't have to yell because our sound guy, our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, what brings us all together? Our life classes, our disciple, what brings us all together? Jesus Christ. It's all about relationship with Jesus, isn't it? That's what brings us together. That's what keeps us together. So as we end this series, we're going to pray. It'll be a little different today. We're going to just have a prayer. I'm going to pray, and you feel free to join right in with me. And then Brother Jerry's going to come, and he's going to give us some brief instructions, and then we'll head over to the fellowship hall. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for this church body. I thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters. And I love everybody here, God. We're all different. We all have different ideals. We all have different ways of doing things. And Lord, that's what makes it so awesome. Because we're not all just clones. You specialize in individuality, and I love that. I love that about this church. And God, I pray, Lord, as we go here today, that we head into our fellowship hall, that we fellowship, we commune, we worship, we talk doctrine, we pray, eat all of this together, just as you taught us in your church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Jerry.